Driving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We are scrubbing in, and today... Tell them what today is, Tanya.
Well, today is a special bonus episode of Scrubbing In because it is brought to you by the new HBO Max Gossip Girl reboot. And can I tell you what I love most about this?
What?
It's something probably that I love the most and Becca does not like the most about this, but I get to see Becca in real life, touch her, nuzzle her 3 days in a row.
Okay. I don't think she agreed to nuzzling.
Yeah, like I did not give you consent to nuzzle. Just no, I'm just kidding. I don't like when you act like I'm not excited to see you. Like this is a two-way friendship.
I know, but I could see you every day, all day.
That's not true.
That's true.
Okay, well, yeah, on that one.
Now she's singing a different tune.
I don't think that's true.
What? That she could see me every day?
No, she couldn't. She needs Robbie time. She needs other friends time.
That's I think not she true. Just she means just... at some point during the day she could see me.
Correct.
Okay.
Which I could probably do that. Just not like hours upon hours together.
I'll save my little notes that you wrote on my birthday and just read those whenever I'm.
Yeah, that's okay. Perfect. Yeah, so we're doing this special episode today, and I just watched, they have released the first two episodes.
Yes. So they're doing it kind of like, I would say retro at this point, where they're releasing them once a week, because that's not the norm anymore. Normally, they just like put out the whole first season and let you just binge.
But you know, I've said this before. I love when TV shows release one at a time or one or two at a time because
why do you like that?
Because I can't sit and binge too long. Like I get so distracted, and I love to be focused on what I'm watching. And when I have to wait a full week, I am like locked into that episode. So I really appreciate this because I do feel like the shows that release the whole season at one time, I think you miss parts of it because like...
I know. And then you see a bunch of spoilers online. I do. That's true. That's mm-hmm. the only... Like, I really don't enjoy that because people can binge it in a day and then all the ending is just out in the universe and you have to like proactively avoid clicking on those stories.
Yeah. Like, I remember... I mean, there's
that is work I just don't want to do right now.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, like we don't want to have to avoid social media to not spoil the show. So I am actually very appreciative of this. And I feel like more shows are actually doing this. So I hope that it continues this way because I, as an old school viewer, prefer to wait.
Old school viewer.
To wait and get excited for the next episode and be like, oh my gosh, that left on a cliffhanger. What's going to happen next week?
Right. And then you like hypothesize. Mm-hmm.
It builds more of a community around it. Like there's another piece of very fine HBO Max programming, Mayor of Easttown, that we release weekly. And you could like theorize and like talk to your friends about it. It was fun.
And okay. White Lotus too.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm so glad you said Mayor of Easttown because I was just going to say that was the last show where it was weekly that I watched and I was anxiously awaiting every episode every week. And it was like fun to have that night where it was like, we're going to sit down and watch our show and have dinner. It's just exciting.
And, you know, I will say this podcast is a special podcast sponsored by the HBO Max Gossip Girl. However, non-sponsored aside, I was having this conversation. I think it was it with you or what? I don't know if it was with the morning show during one of our pitches, but we were talking about how when all these streaming services were coming out, you know, we were like, well, how are they all going to compete? How are they all going to, you know, come up with programming and stuff? But I feel like with HBO Max, it's been winners nonstop. Like I've been really, really pleasantly surprised with everything that they've put out their original content. So I'm a HBO Max stan. If there was a fan club, I'd be in it.
They probably have one of those. We'll research that for you. Did you watch the first two episodes?
I did.
What were your thoughts? Because I have some thoughts on it.
You know, I am a fan also of the original Gossip Girl. And I like how they made this new reboot more like this day and age. Do you know what I mean? Like they were like, we're going to get into your Finstas. We're going to figure you out. All that kind of stuff that we really deal with in this day and age versus with Gossip Girl. What
are you dealing with that was on those first two episodes? What in your life is relatable to
I'm saying when Kristen Bell was kind of setting the scene for the new season and talking about Finstas and subtweeting and things like that. I feel like that's stuff that we do. I have a Finsta.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I don't troll on it. I just kind of peruse. And I used to use it more when I was in the dating world. When I was meeting people that I didn't know that were strangers, I would use it to stalk their Instagram so that they wouldn't see that I was stalking them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, I just cannot imagine high school experience. I can't even imagine my life now like this. Like the thought of kids, high school kids living the lifestyle that they do in the show just like blows my mind. And to be honest, I actually think maybe it's dramatized for the show, but I do think to an extent there's
dramatized
that,
a word. It is?
It's a word that's How expertly used.
Dare by you? Question
mark. I've just never heard it, and I'm going to put it in part of my repertoire now.
Oh,
because
no.
That is, what, say it again?
Dramatized.
I'm going to use that. Thank you very much.
Anyways, I do feel like it's elevated to entertain us, but I do think that kids are experiencing a lot more of like the social media pressure and all of that that comes along with kind of the main plots of the show.
Right, which wasn't there when the original Gossip Girl started.
Well, the social media pressures. It was almost ahead of its time.
Ahead of its time.
You know what I'm saying? So now it's like we're watching this show where the lead girl is, Julian, is a social media influencer and like she has this like huge following and people paying attention to her life. And I think it's like, I do think high school kids are dealing with.
For sure.
The scary world of social media.
Yeah.
Mark, like, is it? Have you watched it? It would terrify you knowing that your daughter is in high school.
There's a lot of shows that fall into that category these days. Do not watch if you have a teenage daughter.
Yeah. Well, this is, it might help you learn.
True, well, that's true.
I'm going to tell you, Mark, this is a dramatized.
Wow, she was just waiting.
I know.
Wow, it didn't take long.
This is a Dramamine episode.
This is a dramatized high school experience. But so it also was back in the day, too. I mean, these weren't like normal high school kids. They were like dramatized.
Okay, so we have a little rundown of like conversation starters. And it says, how is Gossip Girl similar or different to your high school experiences? I could not be further aside from we wore uniforms. That was about the only similarity I think I could find.
Yeah. I mean, mine was not like Gossip Girl at all, but I think that I dealt with a lot of like older classmen bullying. Like we used to get apples thrown at our heads when we were sophomores.
Still one of my favorite stories.
So and I eat an apple every day. So boom.
Yeah. You really showed them.
Showing them.
Yeah, I mean, I went to a Baptist school and I graduated with like 40 people or something. And it was very much like innocent. And no, if anyone partied, no one knew about it because it was such a like, you didn't talk about that. So yeah. No one was meeting up at like a fashion show or club.
Right. Like I think, but you were, did you not sneak out in high school?
No, I was literally the goodiest two shoes you've ever.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So let me go here. So I would tell my dad that I was spending the night at Stacey Nelson's house and, I would go and I would spend the night at my boyfriend or yeah, my boyfriend, not really my boyfriend, but like high school equivalent of a boyfriend, you know,
like y'all were talking,
we were talking and like doing stuff. And I would go sleep there because his parents, they had a 2-story house and his parents slept on the bottom story and, his room was on the top. Did I say his name?
No.
Okay. I probably shouldn't cause he's married now. So out of respect.
Yeah.
But, so I would go and I would, you know, sneak into his house and I would sleep there and, we would go to club. We had a club that was like 16 and over in Orange County. It was called Kokomo's.
Oh.
And we would like wear tube tops and we'd go with the senior boys. And I don't think I told my parents I was going to Kokomo's. I think I would just say I was going to Stacey Nelson's.
Wow. You were just like Gossip Girl.
I was so bad.
Do you find that? Because I was trying to find First of all, I love that Kristen Bell's voice is Gossip Girl.
I do too. I do too.
Nostalgic. And also, I am trying to figure out the, you know, the similarities of the cast and characters now versus the original, and trying to find, because they're referencing a lot of the original characters. Like
they did say that the original characters are, a lot of them are going to kind of pop in throughout the season.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's, I don't, they so don't say which ones.
So I was trying to match everyone. I think obviously Max, who's played by Thomas Doherty, who we're going to actually get to talk to in a little while. He to me is Chuck Bass.
He is.
But a different version of Chuck Bass. Yeah. Like you get the same vibe, but it's different.
Right. Like he's a party, like he's kind of the party playboy, but he's also pansexual.
Yeah. So he's, it. Here's the thing. It's pretty, it's scandalous. Like there's a lot of scenes where I was like, oh, there's like, this is.
Becca's trying to act all innocent right now. We all know what goes on behind closed doors at the Tilly townhouse. Okay.
I don't have a townhouse.
Whatever. I was trying to make a funny with your, what do you call your house?
A house.
at the Tilly home. How fun.
So I was just going to say, like, this is not cable television anymore. Like, we are not on cable anymore.
Well, yeah, it's HBO Max.
That's what I'm saying. You get a lot more bang for your buck.
Right.
So I found that to be really interesting. And it's kind of showing, like, the temptation. And I do feel, I really like the dynamic between the sisters, because Julian is the influencer and she's, like, the most popular girl in school. But she's kind. Like, I feel like deep down she's kind.
Yeah.
But the pressure and the, her little friends, the sidekicks, I don't like them. Well, because
like in high school, you also don't know your, like, you might be kind, but you, what is it? Submit, subdue, you're pressured into being mean or pressured into being a bully. And you kind of do things against, you're not as confident in yourself as you are as an adult, I think, when you're in high school.
Of course.
Your core can be good, but the, if you're in, it's like,
Oh no. What is it like?
It's like if you're what are those cookies that are all white and made just like, they're just like puffy? They're like made out of like, you know, you bite them and they're just like air.
Puff balls? Or
do you know what I'm talking about?
Puff pastries?
No, they're called
I've never heard of this.
Is it like a meringue?
Oh, like
yeah, there you go.
Is meringue, it a meringue? Yeah. You just like bite it and it's like just air?
Uh-huh.
So it's just beautiful and delicious, but you put that thing in some dirty water and it's just going to evaporate.
What are we talking about?
I think the guests are in the waiting room, or at least a guest is in the waiting room. Oh, yeah.
So Thomas is here. So I actually met Thomas years ago because he was in Descendants with one of my best friends, Sophia Carson. So I met him because I went to the set of the movie for the second one and the third one. I wonder, do you think he's going to remember meeting me? Probably not.
You're hard to forget, but I'm just glad he's in the waiting room. Saved us from that analogy going any further. So we're going to take a break.
Should I like tell him? Should I remind him? Be like, yeah. Do you remember me?
Yeah. We're
going to take lame? Is that like loser?
Yeah.
You should definitely do this.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we have Thomas coming into the OR and he's here now.
Easton let him in from the green room.
Hi.
Hi, Thomas. How are you?
What's happening, guys?
All right, you guys, we have Thomas Doherty in the Scrubbing in OR. What? Did I say it wrong?
Becca has been like really stressed about how to say your last name. Did she do it correctly?
Oh, she absolutely butchered it. Really, hundreds of years of my heritage have just gone down the drain with the way you pronounce my second name.
So how do you say it?
I say Thomas. Well, like now I just say either like how you said it, or I say Doherty, because it's pronounced Doherty, but it's just too hard for people.
So like if you were meeting somebody like, okay, you're at your local coffee shop and they're like, hi, I'm Sally.
No one says their full name anymore. So oh, I really? Know. Yeah. No one's like, hi, I'm Rebecca Tilly. They're like, hi, I'm Becca. If you're meeting somebody.
Just role play with me here. Okay. The girl says, hi, I'm Sally Smith. You're going to say, hi, I'm Thomas Doherty.
If I was from Sweden, probably. Yeah.
Okay, well, I am from the South, so, like, me trying to pronounce anything the right way is never going to happen.
Really? You don't really have that strong an accent. Where about in the South?
I'm from Louisiana, but I've lived out in California for a while, but I still have y'all. And like when I try to pronounce things, it goes how that just went.
Okay, wait, I wanted to tell you. So I am, Sophia Carson is one of my best friends.
I knew I recognized you.
Are you sure?
I was like, wait, I thought you just looked very similar to, and like, Paula as well.
Yeah, Paulina. So yeah, I actually came out. I came out to Canada when you guys were filming Descendants 2 and 3, and I would come and I would. I can't remember exactly they blend, you know, time wise, but I definitely remember meeting you when I was out there, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's so cute, and I don't know exactly what your, you know, what you had done up until that point, but I was like, this guy. I'm keeping my finger on this guy. But yeah, I haven't seen you obviously in years, but when we found out that you were going to be on the podcast, I was like, oh my gosh, I fully remember like meeting him when I went out to the set.
Yeah. I actually, when was that? You came out both times.
Yeah, I came both. I would only come for a couple days. So I'd maybe come to set one of the days. And then I would always come on a day where she had an off day and we would just kind of roam around Vancouver and stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I know. Are you still friends? Are you still hanging out?
Of course. They're like my sisters.
Oh, that would be a yes.
Yeah, I'm like, we hang out all the time. I'm going to see them tomorrow. I saw them this weekend.
Tell them I say hi. I always wonder what Sophia does when she's not working.
She's always working.
What does she do?
She's always working. She works a lot.
She's always working. Still working out.
Yeah.
Good to see you again.
Do you remember when I interviewed you for the
She's lying.
I've never met.
I wonder if he's gonna remember because you probably meet so many people. But I was like,
I told her, I was like, she has a very memorable personality and presence about her. So I was like, he'll probably remember.
No, I do.
But the filming of things is really interesting because I'm, you know, not an actor at all. And when I saw how many times you would film certain scenes, I was blown away. Like sometimes you spend an entire afternoon just on one scene. So like when you film one episode of Gossip Girl, how many days does that take?
Well, it's quite different now because of COVID. So there's a lot of like different regulations and stuff like that, which makes it much longer. So I think we're like averaging out like maybe like 2.5-3 weeks an episode.
Oh, whoa.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
It's nuts. It's... Yeah. Even for like a wee scene, like two people sitting having a coffee, having a conversation, it'll take like a good 4 or 5 hours plus to do it.
I know. I really like, I found myself saying I have so much more of an appreciation for this world than I ever had because, you know, you mm-hmm. watch it and you're like, oh, this is an hour, this is 30 minutes. And you're like, oh my gosh, the amount of time it takes is wild. Yeah.
Exhausting, yeah. Especially when you're like crippled with like ADD and I'm just like forget what I'm doing. Oh, it's hard.
So when did you guys start filming this series?
Yes, right. Okay, so we did 12 episodes. We're on episode 10 now.
Oh, you're still filming?
Yeah. We're still filming it. Yeah, we're still filming. Guess when we started?
Ooh,
2019, right before the pandemic.
No, how can it be 2019? That was 2 years ago.
I don't know. That was a trick question.
Yeah, she really felt like she nailed that. Like the confidence.
I mean, that's off to the confidence. Are you sure you should be an actor?
No, this is just who she is. There's no acting.
No, it's bad. Okay, when did you start filming it?
I came out to New York in September. I think we started in October. So it's nearly been a year of filming. Is it nearly been? Yeah, by the time we're done, it'll be nearly a year.
So what was the casting process like? Because you clearly have very Chuck Bass-like tendencies. Like, they couldn't have casted you. There's no way they could have casted better. What was the... Was it competitive? Did they, like, call you up immediately?
Is casted a word?
I don't know.
I thought the same thing. Thank you.
No,
but
I did,
but I corrected her earlier on something and she was actually right.
Word?
No, it's cast. You were just cast. There's no past tense.
Okay, sorry, Thomas Doherty.
When she used the word dramatized or what did you say?
Dramatized.
Dramatized earlier. And I was like, is that a word? And
it
everyone
is a
said,
word.
Yeah, it is. So I was like, it is a word. I'm just going to Homer Simpson that.
I kind of like it, though. I like that word. I'm going to start using it.
Use it. I'm using it, too.
Dramatized is the word.
Dramatized. Everyone, I'm rattled. I'm rattled.
The voice of God from the darkness.
That's Mark.
Thomas, when you were cast for the show, what was the process like for you? Because I feel like you embody the spirit who is Chuck Bass, but you just put this new, fresh spin on it. But you literally, it's like the energy, the vibe, it's like so that familiar feeling that we got from Chuck. Like, did they just call you up? Was it an audition process?
Yeah, it was. It was an audition process. It was actually weird. I watched it. My girlfriend at the time, she started watching it probably for like the 19th time. And I was like just pottering about in the background when she'd be watching it. And then I kind of like sat down and started watching it. And I got hooked. Jesus Christ. I was 25 and I was watching Gossip Girl for the first time on my own. Like, it wasn't like, I can't be like, oh, she was there. Like, I would watch it on my own. And yeah, once I'd finished the series, the cast announcement came out and I was like, oh, that'd be cool. I wonder who they're going to cast. And I got an audition and I went in a few times. I actually went in for Max and I went in for Eli's character, Obi. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, that's not me. So I kept going with Max. And yeah, just like a normal audition process, just went in a load and did a load of chemistry reads and stuff. And yeah, we thought I should do it.
Have you heard from the original Chuck Bass?
Yeah.
The original.
This is Chuck thing everyone keeps talking about. No, I'm not. No.
Because I did read that OG cast members are going to be like popping in and out.
I read that as well.
This is him trying to play coy. Are you trying to play coy with me here?
Chuck and me are very different. We are very different. We're there's a similar, like, if you think about like the dynamic of each, the OG group and this group, mm-hmm. like it's a formula that really works. So they definitely did carry that through. But I mean, it's 11 years later, maybe, mm-hmm. since it came out. So much has changed. The technology has changed the world so much. The way that people just are when they're 16, 17. How funny is that? I'm trying to turn to you. And yeah, he's just definitely more open-minded. He's a lot more like liberated emotionally, sexually, mentally. He's got two dads, you know, so it was very, very different. And he definitely, I always think that Max will like live for the experience of something as opposed to the result of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you?
So I think that's how they kind of differ a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
And also, I'm much better looking.
Obviously.
Sorry, Max just came out. Sorry, go back.
Oh, that was Max. That wasn't Thomas.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way there's not some Max in there. I just know it. I'm scared.
I'm just a really, really good actor. Yeah, nothing like him.
I'm scared that Max is going to hook up with every single cast member on the show. He's going to ruin every relationship and walk away like from, you know, like when it shows the villain walking away from like a burning building. That's what I picture.
That's Max.
Yeah. Yeah, just like causing everyone anxiety, but calm, like cool as a cucumber himself. That's what he makes me feel.
You're making Max sound like a sociopath.
He might be.
He's like, I'm just gonna sleep with everyone, burn this building down.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, to be honest, I started it and I was like a huge fan of the original, so I went in like, you know, my expectations were high, and I was very invested in like every single character, like pretty much right off the bat. Like it feels
great. Come on, be honest though. None of this nicey. Like
it terrifies me. Like Gen Z in general, like if this is what high school is like for them, the high school experience, I feel scared.
Scared, isn't it? Everyone's like, oh, what was your childhood like? I was like, nothing like this.
Nothing?
Like, nothing like this. No, are you joking?
Did you get things thrown at you when you were in high school?
A weird question.
Well, just she has a story about this.
So. I am triggered by that because when I was a sophomore in high school, the senior girls would throw apples at our heads because they called us sluts. And like I was a virgin at the time, so I was like, why are you throwing an apple at my head? But okay.
Apples, Thomas. That's such apples.
A hard, okay.
I know.
So much.
Yeah, it wasn't pleasant. And I eat an apple every day now. So
I'm sorry for laughing.
Exposure therapy.
Exactly.
You have an apple every day.
Yeah.
No, I never got stuff thrown at me. No. Not that I can remember.
Yeah, not many people have that same experience as Tanya.
You know, no. I just figured I'd just lob it out there, maybe, you know.
See if anyone connected to it. This was a very specific question, but we could bond over it.
We could have bonded over it, but, you know, Thomas did not share my experience. So
everything else we could have bonded over. That's the one I'm going to go for, just in case.
Wait, you know what I did want to ask you, though, because I always find this to be very interesting, because I always say I don't think I could ever date an actor because A, you have to have like all these intimate scenes on set, like with other people. And I just don't think I could watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it hard for you? Like, do you find yourself like in real life wanting to date another actor so they get it? Like they understand what you do? Or is it better? Do you prefer not? See, he's really thinking about this. It's a hard question.
It's a hard question. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. I don't really care, to be honest. I mean, people that I've been with thus far, they have all got it. They've all like been in this industry in some capacity. So they do like understand it. So I don't actually know what it's like for someone not to get it.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, it would be hard to be with someone that doesn't understand, doesn't get it, because it's a really, really weird job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I'm based in New York right now, but then I mean I'm going to the DR for like a month and a bit to shoot in September straight off the bat from this, and then I don't know where I'm gonna go,
right?
And yeah, I mean, like being on set, the hours are weird, you're finishing really late, and then also you have to like do all this stupid socializing and networking as well. So yeah, I don't know.
Stupid socializing. I like socializing.
Hard, man. Jesus Christ.
What's your sign?
Guess. Have you seen that meme where there's a text message and there's a guy texting his mom and he says, Mom, what time was I born? And she says, she's not the one for you.
That's me. That meme is for
That's
me. Yeah.
Guess what I am? What do you think I would be? If you say Gemini, I'm hanging up right now.
Everyone feels the same way about the Gemini.
Yeah.
Aquarius.
No.
I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
Taurus.
Nailed it.
Taurus?
Yeah. I knew it because I looked you up to see how old you were.
Oh,
so
my
I saw your birthday. I could have gone on with that, but I was like, Tanya is going to be upset. She's going to be upset for the rest of the interview.
If you said Gemini, I'm going to hang up right now. That's funny.
Do you think that's like a thing? Like star signs and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I'm super, super. Yeah. Actually, you're really your sign and my sign blend really well together. And my sign and her sign blend really well together. And she's my best friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you said you couldn't date an actor.
Well, she has a boyfriend.
Yeah, I have a boyfriend, but I also couldn't date an actor. No. I could never watch. I could not watch scenes of my significant other just like sucking face with somebody else. I even if it was like his job, I don't think I could do it.
even like a wee bit, would you not be like, oh, that's kind of like.
Oh, I'd be like, I want you to suck my face and my face only. That's it.
Do you, I have a question because there are several scenes that are definitely, I mean, I was saying before you got here, like, it's definitely not cable television anymore. Like, we have definitely moved past that in the reboot. And you have, in the first two episodes, there's been, like, multiple scenes with you. Are you, do you do anything to prep? Like, are you, like, breath mint, gum, CBD, anything?
Oh, yeah. you've got a... Well, I brush my teeth, and then I'll have like gum. I have actually these Listerine strips.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Remember they used to be like a thing, like a big thing. Well, it's like come back now. So I have them, just to like be respectful.
Respectful.
I kiss a lot of people in this show.
Yeah, you're really. Has everyone else been respectful of their breath?
No complaints. They have, yeah. Everyone's been chill. Everyone's been, thus far, they've been okay.
Yeah, could you imagine having a kissing scene with somebody that had, like, halitosis?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Because it's so distracting. It would distract you so much.
It really takes you out of the scene, out of the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
To be respectful.
Well, no, because you don't... you don't have, like, I don't know, like, a salmon bagel and go and start kissing someone.
Yeah, no, I can get it.
Like Tanya would just eat like a raw onion and then be like, what?
Give your boyfriend raw onion.
Totally.
Where do you see, like, do you see yourself becoming a character? Because you're kind of like the bad boy right now. Max is the bad boy so far in the first two episodes. Do we get to see like a softer side that you know, like you start rooting for that character, or does that not come in the episodes that you filmed so far?
Well, the thing that I love so much about Max was like on face value, I always feel like Max is playing Max. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He's almost like playing a character himself.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like got when I was reading it. And so I definitely do try and find those moments where he is himself. And I definitely can find that when I'm with my dad. Mm-hmm. And like at home, that kind of whole facade kind of comes down. Mm-hmm. It's not a facade, but he definitely does like play into that identity that he's kind of cultivated for himself. So yeah, there are like softer moments, a lot of softer moments.
I will say though, I do feel like the whole kind of concept though is that everyone in that school and in that like circle is playing someone else, because that's like keeping up the image is the whole name of the game.
I feel like teenagers do that though anyway.
Yeah, they're
scary.
Teenagers
are like, yeah, but they're like, they don't know themselves yet. Mm-hmm. And they're like very insecure, and this is like peer pressures, and especially now, like think about like Instagram and like imagine like growing up just having a constant comparison. So I think, yeah, I feel like kids do that, or teenagers do that anyway. But now it's definitely a lot more heightened in this world.
Yeah.
With money and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, and it's interesting and it's fun and it makes me really sad to see. Like, I feel so sad for kids that are, like, 10 and they have Instagram.
I know, because I was actually saying earlier, I feel like when you're in high school, even if you're like a good person, you still are kind of, you're not confident enough in yourself to really stand up for what you believe in, essentially. You know what I mean? Like if stuff's going down, like you're kind of, you succumb to peer pressure more. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I just can't even imagine what it's like now with the bullying and all the stuff that can go on.
I had a friend's little sister who's 13 asked her mom for lip filler. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that's what they're on TikTok. Like, that's all they're seeing. They're watching, you know, it's like, that's just kind of this world of peer pressure and social media. I mean, I had MySpace and my main focus was getting my background looking good and my song playing.
Right.
So, yeah,
like the right song for my mood. It was dramatic, like Lifehouse or something. I think the show kind of brings to reality in a dramatized way kind of what teenagers are dealing with in this generation, in this time.
Yeah. And it's rough.
Yeah.
God, I would never, I can't cope. I mean, I'm 26 and I still find it hard to like juggle social media and stuff because it's just such, it's like the Wild West. It's like Twitter is like an open air asylum. Like it's just mental. People are just say anything they want.
Uh-huh.
And it's hard for you to be like expressed and without backlash. And now you have to like really like be conscious of every possible feeling that you could hurt because they'll take it out of context or they'll put it in their own, mm-hmm. you know, and it's so mm-hmm. like, and so it makes you like smaller and smaller until you get to a point where like, I only go on Instagram like once a week, maybe.
When you come out with like a new episode, when like, you know, or are you going to, do you go on social media and look and see what people are saying?
No.
Or do you try to avoid it?
I avoid it.
Okay.
And I never read any reviews either because like it's done. I had an amazing time filming it. I hope people enjoy it. If they don't, you don't have to watch it. Honest, I promise, guys. Like, if you don't like it, just turn it off. You don't have to watch it. And I think it's just kind of productive. I think it's redundant. I feel like I will listen to like loads of notes or like even friends like giving me like tips or like notes they thought about this in terms of character. But apart from that, I mean, hundreds of thousands of people kind of jumping in, giving your 2 cents. I mean, it gets confusing. And like I say, it is pointless.
It's so true. People feel very excited and entitled to share their judgment and criticism. And
well, did you see what Idris Elba posted this week about social media? He was like, celebrities all have to be, what's the word? They all get, you know, verified. They all get verified with a blue check. Every user on social media should have to be verified. Like they should have to have their like name or whatever associated with an account so that everybody's held accountable and people can't be just spewing whatever they want anymore. And I was like, what a great idea.
That is a really good idea.
Right?
Yeah. So that the people with no profile photo,
right,
just,
like flower girl 99 on Instagram is going to be traced back to somebody that actually has an identity and a driver's license. And then if you start trolling people and you're mean, guess what, you get held deemed accountable,
a ticket
or whatever.
The flower girls throw apples at you.
Yeah, yeah. Flower girl 99 is the apple thrower. Yeah.
All right, Thomas Doherty, we are going to let you go. We really enjoyed having you in the OR. Truly, this was a treat and you're so fun.
Yeah, we are rooting for you. I was just saying before you got on before you came in, I was saying I love how they're releasing episodes weekly because I kind of miss that time of like waiting for a new episode. So I'm looking forward to
the suspense.
The suspense. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you guys. This has been so fun.
He's going to get off and be like, what just happened to me?
No, not at all. Like, no, thank you. And I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you. Well, I mean, I'm very much hooked and into it. And I'm so happy for you and happy that you are continuing your work even after you finish Gossip Girl. And thanks for taking the time to hang out with us today.
Yeah, it was nice to rekindle.
I know. I'll see you again soon.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll tell the girls you said hi.
Yeah, please do.
I will.
All right. Bye, Thomas.
Bye.
Have a good one, guys.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Are you surprised he remembered you?
I am. But you know what? I appreciate it.
Good. Yeah. I didn't mean it.
He probably meets a lot of people and it's been a couple of years, you know?
Yeah, I told you, you're memorable. He is, to me, like, I get why he's able to play Max so well. He definitely has the traits, the subtle traits. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. So we have someone very exciting to talk to who basically revived the show for us. We have Josh Safran, who is the executive producer. He's a writer, kind of does it all. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So doing my research, you were part of the original series.
Yes.
And yes. It was kind of like, was it your idea? Like, what was the process of being like, let's reboot this?
Josh and Stephanie, who created the original, came to me and they had been sort of working on
a way to redo it. They didn't have an idea. They had just like sort of tried a variety of things. And then they finally kind of hit a wall. They said, if you have any ideas, let's do this. And if you don't, we can all sort of go our, you know, separate ways and not do it. And I had an idea and I couldn't let go of that idea. And it just grew and grew over the course of a weekend. And I told Stephanie about it. And she's like, yeah, that's the idea. And then that was that.
So how, like, when, at what point after the original series finale did that, like, did y'all even start talking about that?
So I think they approached me at the very end of 2018, which was 6 years after the end of the original. It might have actually been the beginning of 2019, but I was in the middle of doing another show at the time. So my brain wasn't even in this.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, I'm not going to do this. And then I just couldn't let it go. And frankly, even if they had come to me 3 years after, I probably would have been like, there's some more we can tell here. It's like, it is a show you could return to over and over again. There's a lot to mine in this world. And I just think it's really fun. The idea that there might be many future Gossip Girls also.
Was it a dynamic like different on set with this cast versus the original cast? Like, does it feel different?
I mean, it does. I think the primary reason that it does is because the old show, we did 22, 24, 25 episodes a year. It was a full-time year round. We also only had 8 days to shoot those episodes in, and here we have 12. So episodes here, there were like a week and a half, and here it's 2.5 weeks. So there's a little bit of a more relaxed vibe on set for everybody because we have more time. Whereas the old show, they were getting new scripts every 5 days. They had to learn, and the episodes were the same length. I mean, they were like 10 minutes longer, but it's not that marked of a difference. So back then, those actors were being thrown things all the time, and like Serena killed somebody, and Chuck's dad fell off a building. Like, there were crazy things that happened all the time, and they only had 8 days to do them. And here, not so many crazy things happen. They have a more leisurely time with it. So I think that's the real difference. It's just the workload. And those were 12-hour days, which often extend to 14-hour days. And on the show, we do 10-hour days. So there's just a little bit more of a relaxed vibe just in the nature of production.
Did you feel like when you say you had a story idea that felt like worth reviving it, what was it, the sister dynamic, what was that, or do we not know that part yet?
No, it was the teachers. It was the idea of us knowing who Gossip Girl was and that it's the teachers. Those two things were like, if we do it this way, then we're not retreading the old show, you know, we're doing something new.
There, because, you know, in the first one it was the whole time we were trying to guess who is Gossip Girl. And then at the end, it was revealed. And now it's kind of like we have this heads up on who it is. But are there twists around that again? Or is it straightforward?
It's straightforward, except I think the twists that are around it is that first time, you know, you didn't get to watch Dan do these terrible things. You didn't get to watch him sit next to Serena as she opened up her soul to him. And secretly, he was writing everything down to post later and like destroy her life. And that's the girl that he's in love with. So here, the twists are watching Kate and the teachers gain information, sometimes in a very precarious way. Like the twists are, for instance, Kate gets closer to Zoya. Once you're very close to somebody and you are actually having to use their information and destroy them, how does that weigh on you? So there are the twists, but it's not like, who is Gossip Girl? You know who Gossip Girl is. That's who Gossip Girl is. It's now the twists are, what does being Gossip Girl do to you? Like, that's really the big thing.
Yeah.
And was it more fun for you to, because since this is on HBO Max, you can be a little more risque than the original when it was on, what was it, the CW?
Yeah.
Well, weirdly, I think in an odd way, I think we might have been more risque in the CW. I mean, we can show more here, but there we couldn't show anything. So you'd have to intimate it all. So like you would write around it, like Chuck and Blair would be having sex. You just could only show their faces. And somehow that made it feel even worse, you know, or weirder. Now you can show everything. And I think what we are doing this time around is, you know, so nothing is gratuitous. We really are. It's always a character moment. There's always something really going on there. You know, like the idea of, you know, if Emily plays Audrey and Evan who's playing Aki, if they have a love scene after they both cheated on each other and you're watching that love scene, they do things in that love scene that reveal to each other that they cheated on each other. Mm-hmm. Like that's the story point happening, as opposed to just a sex scene for a sex scene.
Have you heard from any of the OG cast members about this new reboot? Like, have you gotten any feedback or have they reached out to you?
I think Josh and Stephanie, probably have been in touch with them. I mean, I've gone on to do several other shows and time has passed. And like, if I bump into somebody, like I'll say hi to them, but I would say there are supporting cast members who I'm in touch with more, some of whom may or may not make appearances on this version of the show very soon. In fact, tomorrow we are shooting a scene with many supporting characters from the original show, which is very fascinating. And I can't tell you who they are, but so I think it's more that for me. It's not the series regulars.
Did you find, like, when you were casting for this one, because as I was watching, even though there's differences in all the characters, I found myself going, well, that's the
right comparing
Chuck Bass of, you know, like kind of feeling the same feeling watching these characters that I did in the original. But there's always this difference. Like we just talked to Thomas and, you know, he's pansexual on the show. And so he has a very Chuck Bass energy, but there's this twist to him. And did you intentionally do that with the characters?
I did. I actually did it unintentionally. And I started writing them. And I was like, I'm going to make sure that they're not like the original, because it shouldn't be the same show, because those characters are so beloved. And Blair is Blair. Don't try to make a new Blair. Chuck is Chuck. Don't try to make a new truck. And as I was writing it, I was like, wait, why does Audrey feel a little like Blair? Yeah. Why does Max feel a little like Chuck? And I told Stephanie. And Stephanie was like, because Cecily, who wrote the books, did her research and the archetypes that exist in these schools. And I went to private school in the Upper East Side. I also know these people. Those types exist. And so there would be a version of a Chuck at any time that you would check in on this story. So Max is a version of a Chuck, just like Chuck is a version of an Oscar Wilde character from the 20s. You know, that's just the DNA is there. So the differences are, like you said, his sexuality is different. Chuck didn't have boundaries. That was part of Chuck's issues. Mm-hmm. And Max has very clearly defined boundaries. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's just like subtle changes, but yeah. And also, like, Thomas plays, you know, I think Max maybe enjoys, I think Chuck had a lot of darkness and was wrestling with a lot of demons. I don't think Max is wrestling with a lot of demons. So like, it's still the same sort of like fun guy who's up for anything, but he's a little lighter this time around, I guess.
Okay. I'm really fascinated by the fact that you went to private school in Upper West Side, because in my mind, I watched the show,
right,
and
like,
I'm
this
like,
isn't real.
This can't be real. Yeah. And obviously it's a TV show, so there's added elements, but
dramatized.
Good job. We just taught her that word.
So yeah, she's just excited. I learned a new word earlier. So,
but like, is that kind of how it was? Like, did you experience those types of things?
I mean, I'm so old. We're talking about so long ago, but I mean, kind of. Like, I mean, look, did anyone kill anyone? Did anyone's father fall out of the building? Did anyone like marry, you know, the Prince of Monaco? No, but. I went to, when I was at high school, when I was a freshman, like Rupert Murdoch's sons were seniors. Like they went to school. So I was around a world of wealth and privilege, and I was not a part of that world. I was more of the Dan sort of, and the first time around in Gossip Girl, like that's who I identified with, right? And around, I sort of identified with Zoya the most, although I identify with all of them, obviously, because I created them. But I mean, it was a crazy world to be in. But I mean, New York, growing up in New York is a crazy place. It still is now. It doesn't make a difference of when it is. It's just, you are in the biggest city in America that has the closest roots to other countries. Mm-hmm. And so you're just feel half in and half out. I don't know. It's a very weird thing. And I think that hasn't changed. I watch my friends with kids and I watch their kids navigating this world. Like, for instance, when I reached out to one of my close friends' daughters, went to Chapin, and I was like, what's happening now? Because
Right.
And everything she told me was pretty much the same. So yeah, but I was glad to get it from her. But yeah, it's pretty much the same.
Well, that's what we were talking about to Thomas about. Like, it's, although it is so dramatic, there is like, there's this new added level of pressure, peer pressure with social media and trying to keep up and be cool and like fit in. And I feel like more than ever, it's this like insane world of reality versus this idea of what it's supposed to be like. And it's scary.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, like, I thought about that in the writer's room, that like, even in the first show, Gossip Girl was just exposing, Serena walked through the world and was Serena, and Gossip Girl was like, let me actually show everybody who you really are. Mm-hmm. The new layer is Julian walks the world as a construct of Julian,
right?
Because she's an influencer. So Gossip Girl is like, let me show you how the construct isn't real. And then also let me show you how the real you isn't real. There's like two layers now, all of us.
Yeah.
we are on social. There is our social media selves, and there's mm-hmm. ourselves. And the first show, there was not that second layer. And so it's really interesting to watch that now. Like, that's an extra thing to play with and for Gossip Girl, because it's not enough just to puncture the social media bubble. She's coming after who you really are as well. So that's, I think, coming up maybe.
Well, speaking of social media, and I'm asking you this as like a creative, because you're a creative person, you're creating characters, you're creating storyline constantly, and then you make it and then it goes out to the world. Do you go on social media to see what people are saying, or do you not want to see it because you don't want it to mess with your creativity?
Oh no, I need to see it. I know I shouldn't, and it burns me all the time. Knock on wood, it hasn't burned me on this show yet, because the audience really is accepting the show and having really great conversations. But I think it's very important, especially on a show like this that deals A with social media, but B with younger people, to actually see how is this affecting them? How is this being taken? When I was doing Quantico, I didn't care so much about what people on social media were saying, meaning I wanted to know what they thought of the show, but I wasn't looking about whether they thought it was reflecting their lives, because how many people are on Twitter who are people of color in the FBI? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just not, I wasn't seeing that. I was seeing their enjoyment of the show. But here, the show is representing a sect of the population that is on social media and that does see themselves as these characters. And I am curious if they feel that's accurate and if it's reflecting them properly. So,
there was a scene where Julian's talking about how she's losing followers, and her friends go, well, Olivia Jade's mom went to prison. Yeah, she gained followers. And Olivia Jade actually posted a TikTok, and she goes, she like showed the scene and goes, no, I didn't. And was that your line? Did you write that?
Of course. My experience when I wrote that was, I remember doing research and seeing that somewhere, but I will believe Olivia Jade over whatever research I read in Hello Magazine. When I wrote it, I thought
Hello
it was
Magazine.
True.
That is so good.
I apologized online to Olivia Jade and said it was my fault. But he took it in stride, you know. It was meant to lovely mention, not a bad mention, you know?
I actually saw her TikTok before I watched the first two episodes, and I was like laughing out loud, because it seemed like she was just like
lighthearted.
No, yeah.
I mean, there's some jokes about targets that people might be sensitive about, because the character, my whole thing is, what would the character say, meaning not every character has to be good. Mm-hmm. Monet says stuff that like other people would never say. That's what Monet does. And so there's some target she goes after that who knows? I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just saying it's Monet. It's not me. And it's not
right. Monet. That's so I love, like, it would be so fun to be a writer and just kind of be able to do whatever you want and be like, it was a character, not me.
I did. There was a joke at one point that I put in about Priyanka, who's a friend of mine, but it was a positive mention, because of course I love Priyanka. And then I was watching it in the day, and I was like, somebody could misconstrue this and not think it's positive. So I cut it. And the thing that taught me a lesson, because obviously there are probably other people I don't know where the jokes are meant, like Olivia Jade, the jokes meant positively, but maybe they could take it negatively. So it has reshaped my brain a little bit, because thinking about a friend of mine, I'm like, oh, that could be misconstrued. And then I'm like, wait, I should think about all of these as if they were friends of mine, and it could be misconstrued. But then you'd miss the fun. So like, it's a tricky balance.
It is a tricky balance. I think especially right now, because everybody's super like hypersensitive to everything. So I feel like sometimes you can make a joke and it's really innocent, and then it gets misconstrued, and then like,
yeah, totally. It's Gossip Girl. They have to say.
I mean, it wouldn't be Gossip Girl.
And I like the kind of like the nuancy. Is nuancy the right word?
Well, I don't. I need the rest of the sentence.
The like how you make it very like make it very current. Like it feels very much in the now. Like everything that we're dealing with, we're going through. It just feels that way.
Yeah, thank you. And that's the hope. I mean, it's really, especially since most of the scripts were written like a year and a half ago, it's crazy to me that they're still like in the moment. In fact, today they just shot a joke. There was a joke about a scandal that was like 8 months ago when the script was written. I was like, oh no. So quickly myself and the writer that's on set, we're like, what are the scandals right now that they could be referencing? And we're like, okay, this, and we changed it. But it's like, sometimes you have to do that just to stay in the moment. And the cast is so on social media and they know everything. So I can just really easily turn to like Zion and be like, is this in the moment? And she'll be like, no. And I'm like, okay, I'll find something else.
Well, I was going to say, also, it's cool to see like such a diverse cast too. And not only because I remember on the original when Eric was gay and that whole storyline was coming, it was a big deal. It was like this like, oh my gosh, like they're including this. And it felt like very almost like ahead of our times at the yeah. time. And it's cool yeah. now to see like so many different personalities, so many people from different backgrounds. And was that, I mean, obviously a very important aspect of casting, I imagine.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I kind of felt like the first show, you know, which I didn't create, but it was based on a book series and those characters were in the book. So all of those characters existed in those books, and how they were described in the books is who they were. Like mm-hmm. even the cover of the books looks like sort of the actors, even though you can't see their faces, kind of looks like the actors that you see on the show. These characters are all new. And mm-hmm. so because they are on the books and they were fully invented, it allowed me to sort of look at the world and reflect the world that exists. And that was really important to me. I've never, you know, created a show without sort of people of color as the leads. And that's, again, I grew up in New York City. I'm in New York City. I live in Brooklyn. I live in this world. My friends go to private school. Their kids go to private school. And I just want to make sure that we are always putting forward the world as we see it and not a world that's been sort of, things are erased. So yeah. It's not a very delicate, it's an indelicate way of saying it, but it was very important to me. And so in terms of casting, you know, all of the characters, you know, they're who they were was designed on the page. And then Cassandra, my casting director, just went out and found the best cast that I could have ever imagined. Every single one of them. I mean, like Thomas, it's funny, you just talked to Thomas. It's like every day when Thomas shows up, I'm like, what's going to happen today?
Yes.
Thomas is so, I love Thomas so much. He's so, he surprises me constantly, and it's always right. So it's weird. It's like that weird thing where you're like, you write the character and you hope for the best. You hope mm-hmm. somebody's going to, and then he comes in and he puts a spin on it that's like left of what I thought and totally correct. Uh-huh. So it's like, I'm glad you guys got to talk.
Well, no, I mean, that's, he was, I mean, we giggled a lot. Like, yeah. But I'm like rooting for the sister dynamic, and I find the character so, like, I'm very interested in what's happening. And I'm so glad that these episodes are being released week by week instead of all at once, because I like the excitement of having to wait.
For me too, they asked me what I wanted, and I really wanted that, because the original show really worked in those 7 days in between where the audience could talk and engage. It's built to actually carry you to the next one. And the sister dynamic goes to some crazy places. In fact, the episode airing tomorrow, really, there's a big thing that happens at the end of the episode, and then there's a lot of stuff that happens in the next episode. It's probably one of my, I said it's like the second favorite of mine, and the first six, the one airing tomorrow, especially because of what happens to the sisters at the end of it. So
that's it. You said it's one of your favorites that y'all have done?
Really is, yeah. It feels the most, I'd say of the first six, it feels the most, no, the next episodes 3 and 4 feel the most like the old show.
Yeah, and you are right, because I feel like we definitely don't have that anymore in terms of television, where it's mm-hmm. like you can hypothesize and like guess with your friends like what's going on, whereas like now when you binge stuff, it's just like the answer's there. You just have to Google it. Yeah,
totally, totally. And I for me, with binge, some shows I want to binge. Like right. if it's like a murder mystery, like mm-hmm. I want to like end and find out. For this, I want to like, I just want to like wonder what's going to happen. It's, that's at least for me. So like, I'm not against binging, but I think also this show, so much happens every episode and it's so fast.
Yeah.
That if you were binging it, you just wouldn't even catch it all. But because you have to, you know, it's every week, you can be like, okay, I'm going to really pay attention to Max right now and see what's going to happen to Max.
That's what at the beginning of the episode, I was saying, like, I feel like when there's a lot happening in a show, I need to be locked in. And sometimes if I'm binging, I like check out and I'll get on my phone. And it's like, sometimes you just can't do that with certain shows. So I feel that way. So how many episodes do y'all have left? Is that what you're filming right now?
We're filming episode 10 out of 12 right now.
Okay.
So
almost there.
I know, it's so crazy. I mean, especially because we started shooting last October. Yeah. So it feels like it's just been a year. And the show is very big, and we're, like I said, all these original cast members, supporting cast members are coming back tomorrow. So it's going to be fun. We have like 4 returning cast members tomorrow, all in one scene. And I'm very excited for that because I haven't seen them.
Can you tell us what their names rhyme with?
No, of course not. What I can tell you is they all know each other.
Aww.
So it's not, meaning it's a group of people that travel as a group. That's the best way I can put it. You won't be able to guess.
Yeah.
I know. That was a clue that you could guess, but you actually couldn't guess.
Yeah, I think that almost threw me off more.
Because I love the idea of how this cast will interact with that. Like, I'm very excited to see.
Yeah.
In episode 5, there's a returning cast member. It's the first returning cast member from the original show. We shot that already. And watching them interact with our cast was only one person, but still it was like this interesting sliding doors, right? Because it's like, you know where this person is now. And so now we're upping the ante. Tomorrow there'll be 4 of them. So maybe in season 2, if there's a season 2, there'll be 12 of them in the season. So, yeah.
I love all the little nods to the old cast. And I love that Kristen Bell is the voice still. Like, it's just pretty iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the best. And without her, there would be no show. You hear that voice and it just
it takes you back. It really does.
I know. I chilled. Yeah. I was like, oh, she's back.
Well, you're awesome. I love your energy. So congratulations on everything and continued success. You can definitely come back and let us know when the old cast members return.
I will definitely let you know. Okay. So thank you guys so much. It's so nice meeting you.
Thanks, nice meeting you too.
Go enjoy your snacks.
Bye.
I liked he was very just like
he was very scrubbing in like you yeah know what
very
I mean?
Scrubbing energy, in energy
yeah scrubbing in energy for sure
excited to talk about it yeah share.
Funny
yeah
passionate
yeah
exhilarated
I just am so fat like people who are I love that he was part of the original show
yeah
because I think even though it's different and there's like this new element to it you still feel kind of that same.
Nostalgia.
Yeah. And it's like kind of restored in this new one. So it's cool. I like that he's a part of the new one too.
I do too. And I just like him.
I do too.
Yeah.
Maybe we could have him as a mantle guest.
I wouldn't hate it.
He sounds really busy. He was like,
I gotta go eat my snacks. Yeah. I gotta go shoot some more shows.
Yeah. He's like, I'm filming and
gotta go hang out with Priyanka.
Yeah. He's a busy, busy man. It is funny though, because all this time, I think it'd be so cool to talk to someone who grew up on the Upper East Side or Upper West Side?
Upper East Side.
But he said he went Upper West Side, I think.
Oh.
I don't know.
You're talking to a California native, so.
Anyways, I thought like it'd be so cool to talk to someone who experienced that to ask. Obviously, it's not like that, but.
But it is.
To see kind of what the group, the class levels and all that stuff goes to. But thank you all for hanging out with us and listening to today's special podcast. I hope that you immediately go and watch the first 2 episodes of Gossip Girl on HBO Max.
And don't forget, Gossip Girl has brand new episodes on HBO Max every Thursday. So mark your calendars. Thursday, Blur's Day with Gossip Girl.
What is Blur's Day?
Like, you know, have a little cocktail, get a little blurry.
You pulled that out of your. Thank you all for listening and we'll talk to you next week.
XOXO.